you are going to grow hair so much right now that you'll need to leave and get it cut. In Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 22, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus, and they begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man and led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" The man looked around. "Yes," he said, "I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. I'm speaking for just a few minutes this morning about blurred vision. It is just a natural thing as time goes by and as we get older with age. It's a natural thing that our vision loses its sharpness and becomes dull. Hello. And it's the same way in the spirit. We can become dull of vision in our spirit. We're talking about the vision you may have for your own life. I could ask the question this way: where do you see yourself a year from now or 5 years from now? How do you see your life in the future? And what is the vision you have? Is it clear and sharp, or have you lost your sharpness and are you dull of vision now? Jesus was brought a blind man, totally blind, could not see anything. He touched him one time and he was partially healed, but it required the second touch for him to have clear vision. Now, this is the only recorded scripture where it would seem at first glance that Jesus fell short of his goal. But we realize there's more to the story than that. The blind man was not healed instantly. Now, I believe God can heal instantly. But I like what Max Lucado said. He said, "God will heal you instantly or gradually or ultimately." Healing will surely come. And in this case, it was not an instant healing. It is possible for God to touch someone and that person still not be perfect. I'm exhibit A. Look in the mirror. You're exhibit B. All of us know what it is for the touch of God to mark our lives, and yet we don't have everything that God has for us. Not yet. After the first touch, this man had blurred vision. It required a second touch from God. Now, before the second touch, he could see, but not clearly. And here is what this story is all about. It was a test for this man. Born blind, had never seen the light of day. And now Jesus touches him, and there is a change. It is a change for the better. It is absolute improvement for this man. But yet he still had blurred vision. The test for this blind man at that point was this: would he settle for blurred vision? Many times we settle for something better than what we had, even though it's not yet God's best. We're talking about vision, how you see your life in the future. Here's the definition of a visionary. A visionary is someone who sees how things should be, regardless of how they appear at the present time. That's a visionary. Now, the first touch from God on your life got you here. But now so much hinges on the next touch of God for your life. This story is not about blindness. It's about limited perception and degrees of vision. This man had lost his way. This man had no sight. People who have problems with vision spiritually, the Bible has a lot to say about these people. The prophet Isaiah referred to people who err in vision and stumble in judgment. Isaiah also said, we grope like the blind as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noon as if it were as dark as midnight. The prophet Micah said that part of the curse is you shall have no vision. I say also part of the curse is you might have vision, but it's blurred vision. In the New Testament, Paul said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Also in the book of Acts, we read these words, while Peter thought on the vision, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. I was reading that one day in the book of Acts, and I read those words, while Peter thought on the vision, the Holy Spirit spoke. And it was like the Lord said to me, if you will think on the vision, I'll speak to you too. Vision. How clear, how sharp is your vision? A waitress was asked by one of the patrons in the restaurant, how do you manage to carry all those dishes through the crowd without spilling anything? And she replied, I look where I'm going and not at what I'm carrying. The prophet Habakkuk says, write the vision and make it clear. Solomon said in Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish. The New Living Translation said, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. But I like the translation of that verse given to us by Bishop Frank Harvey. He gave it while he was ministering here several years ago, and I've never forgotten it. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Frank Harvey's translation goes like this, where there is no ongoing, progressive revelation of the will of God, people wander aimlessly without direction until they die. Oh, how sad. How sad. Based on the clarity of a person's vision, many people who are dealing with blurred vision are ready for the grave. And they wander aimlessly without direction until the day they die because they have vision that is blurred and not clear. When I was growing up, and there are some here that I know, remember this man. One of my good friends was a blind man. His name was Fred Williams. He was an amazing man. He was blind, but had his own recording studio. And he would record albums for other people. And I know Larry Pearson remembers Fred Williams. Great singer, great guitar player. I lived with him and his wife, Ann, for 3 months one summer just to be near him and to enjoy his company. And Fred told me this. He said, Carl, I wasn't born blind. I had an accident, and something poked in my eyes when I was 4 or 5 years old. And from that day until just 2 or 3 years afterward, I gradually lost my sight. And he said this to me, and I couldn't understand it then. I can understand it better now. But he made this statement to me. He says, I cannot remember exactly the day I went blind. He said, because going blind for me was such a gradual thing, I just acclimated to it. My vision got duller and dimmer and darker until, before I realized it, I could no longer see anything. And so since he was perhaps 6 or 7, he's been totally blind. But he did not remember the exact day he went blind. That's how the thief robs us of vision. We may not lose it all at once. And if we don't, it's a gradual thing, and so gradual that we don't know we're blind yet. How tragic is that? And then Fred had this expression. I love Fred. He was a lot of fun. Or else I wouldn't have hung out with him. But he was a lot of fun, a godly man. But he would use this expression about his other friends who were blind. And he would say, well, yeah, he's blind. Now, he's legally blind. Here was his expression. He's legally blind, but he can see the salt shaker on the table. And I thought, well, that's the standard of measurement, obviously, for partially sighted people. Well, he's legally blind. Ooh, I don't like that. He can see the salt shaker on the table. That's sort of like this man after the first touch from Jesus. Oh, he was no longer completely blind. He had some vision, but it was blurred, and he could see the salt shaker on the table. He could see a man, but the man looked like a tree. Blurred vision. Can you imagine how difficult it is to explain to a man or a woman who was born blind what light looks like? If they were born blind and had never seen light, how can you explain to a blind person that you can walk into a room and it can be completely dark and then you flip a switch on the wall and a light bulb in the ceiling comes on and now you can see clearly? How can you make a blind man understand that? What light is all about? How can you describe to a blind person, someone who's born blind, never seen anything, the difference between red and purple and orange and yellow and gray and pink and teal, and white, and black, and brown? How can you explain that to someone who has no vision? Now, no matter how powerful the first touch from God was on my life or on your life, we never get all God has for us in any one single encounter. There's always more. I don't think we could handle it if we got everything at once. God gives us time, and that keeps everything from happening at once for us, both the good and the bad. But over time, God desires to touch us again with a second touch or a third touch, so that even though what we've enjoyed is better than what we once had, there is even something greater still yet ahead for us. From time to time, we need a fresh touch from God. For this blind man, it required the second touch. Listen to some scripture, and then we're going to close because I feel somebody's hair growing. I saw somebody get up and walk out. I thought, is he going to get a haircut? Okay. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him, speaking of Elijah, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. The angel of the Lord came back the second time. Say this out loud after me right now. I may need a second touch. In Jonah chapter 3, which is one of my favorite books, it's only 4 chapters, the book of Jonah, the story of God calling one man to one city. In verse 1 of Jonah chapter 3, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. I'm so glad that God is patient, that he does not throw us out if we miss some of what he has the first time, but he will come again the second time. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Oh, Jonah missed it altogether that first time. He paid dearly for it too. But God spared him and redeemed him and gave him a second chance. The word came to Jonah the second time. Then Saul in the New Testament, the first touch on this man's life was on the road to Damascus. The first touch from God left Saul blind. He was knocked off of his horse. And he had to grope his way to the home of Ananias for the second touch. It was the second touch from God that restored him and redeemed his life. Now, if Paul had stopped short of the second touch, he would have remained blind from the first touch, and he would have had to be led around by the hand for the rest of his life. And if Paul had stopped with the first touch, if he had stopped short of the second touch, what would the New Testament look like today? Because he wrote two-thirds of it. Jesus came to Peter and said, Peter, I want to wash your feet. And Peter said, oh, Lord, I'm clean. And Jesus said this to him, you are clean, but not all of you is clean. And then, before Nickelodeon, the children's channel, made it popular, there is the story in the Gospel of John, the third chapter, I call Nick at Night. You know the story, how that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he was a religious leader. He was high ranking in the religious hierarchy of that day. And he knew there was something special about Jesus, but he couldn't go public with it for fear that he would be persecuted by religion. So he sought out Jesus by night. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and asked him, how could he go to heaven? In John chapter 3, notice this order here. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered him and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 5. Jesus answered him again and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Did you notice the order there? First, we have to see the kingdom. It's a matter of vision, and we're not limited to blurred vision. Jesus is willing to give us a second touch and bring clarity to what we see. We first must see the kingdom before we can enter the kingdom. Now that's good right there. Sight precedes entrance. Vision always comes before access. You must be born again or you cannot see. Then you must be born of the water and the Spirit, or you cannot enter. Sight precedes entrance, and vision always comes before access. I'm closing with this. In the Old Testament, the father of our faith, Abraham, had been instructed by God to leave where he was and go there. He didn't even know where there was. But he headed out in obedience. God took him to a certain place, and then God told him to stand still at that place. And God gave him this instruction, said, stand where you are and look around in every direction. And then God said, I will give you all you can see. Many times, we don't receive more from God because our vision is limited and we can't even see all that He has for us. One of the greatest needs we have, perhaps, could be clarity of vision. If you're dealing with blurred vision, allow God to touch you again and bring clarity to His vision for your life. That's my message for today. And nobody grew hair so long, but I do appreciate you for being here. Thank you for those of you who are watching, worshiping with us by live stream. Just before we go, we have just a couple of minutes left. I want Pastor Steve to come. He's going to bless you before you leave and give you some instruction. Thank you in advance. Brenda and I are participating in this offering. We used to live next door to Russia. For a year, we lived in Latvia. It borders Russia. We love those people. Even the Russians, our church there in Liepāja, Latvia, was half Russian and half Latvian. God loves those people, and they're hurting. And Pastor Steve, remind us how we can be a blessing.
Thank you. May we learn to live our lives through the lens of Scripture. Have 20/20 vision. I want to read you something before we leave out, and I'll tell you how you can give. But it's in Matthew 25:31. It says this, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these My brothers of Mine, you did for Me.'" I believe that God has given us a great gift this morning, and that gift is opportunity. And we have an opportunity to affect in a positive way so many people who are hurting. And, hello, brother. You want to say something? Come on. This is Van Rowell.
All right. You know there's times when God tells you to do something and you're terrified? That's how I am right now. Two things. I've been in combat, so I've been in a war zone. And I will tell you one thing, that if right now bombs started falling outside of this building, there's only two things you would do. You would take yourself and your family to safety. Okay? Taking yourself and your family, there's only one thing that matters. Okay, if you think, let's boil this down. Your relationship with God. And the fact that you were put on this earth to have a relationship with Him and to have a family. Okay? That's it. Forget about everything else. Forget about the pictures on your wall. Forget about your car. Forget about your job. Forget about your clothes, except the ones that are on your back. The only thing that matters, you boil it down, is your relationship with God first, your life, and then your family. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? And you say, well, I've got to have a job. I've got to put my kids through school. I've got to put clothes on me. I've got to put a car. I've got to have a house. Well, do you understand that right now, on the other side of the world, we are giving to that girl, and she has no idea that God is doing that for her. Do you understand that? You know, we read these stories about manna falling from heaven and honey from a rock and these things. See, you're going to sing that song now. And you're like, how do these things happen? How does the bird bring him meat under the bush every day? How does that stuff don't make sense? That's just a story. How does God do things like that? Think about it. You're getting ready to give right now in an offering, and you're halfway around the world to somebody that has no clue what you're doing. God is doing that. God is providing. You didn't see that coming. You didn't work for it. She didn't work for it. She didn't go out and get a job. She didn't do anything for it other than trust God to meet her needs, her absolute needs. When you boil it down, she's got her and her family. That's all she took out of that place. She didn't have anything. We gave her a toy truck. We gave her some food. We gave her a place to sleep. All that mattered at the moment was her and her family getting out of there. Her relationship with God and her family. And then everything else will be met by God. If you can walk out of here and just understand that, gosh, I mean, I didn't hear a word you said the whole message. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm being honest. I've been over there terrified the whole time. I'm like, I know God's telling me to say this, but I don't know how to do this. But all right, well, I'll let you unpack all the rest, okay, and clean up any mistakes I made. But there you go.
Thank you, Van. You know, I was thinking about Van and Robert and so many of you who have been in war, who have suffered the effects of war this morning. So thank you for sharing that, Van. I don't even know where I was at, but you know, we are light in dark places. So glad to be partnered with OM Ship. Miles, Patty, thank you so much. We love you. We love that ministry. And you can give with confidence knowing that the money you give will go exactly where it's supposed to go. You don't have to, for every penny of it will go exactly where it needs to go. And that is so comforting. If you came this morning and you're not prepared to give in that, but you still want to, hey, you can. You have until Thursday to do so, because we'll cut a check Thursday. And you can mail your offerings to P.O. Box 2244, Florence, South Carolina, 29503. Or you can go online at alcflorence.com and you can click donate and just mark your offering refugee. And we'll know exactly where to put it. And would you stand with me?